So, Gemara Nirvamos and Daf Mem Beis, Vav Mem Beis tells halacha, right, that there are all sorts of halachos that pertain to the nature of the process of conversion. And the Gemara says that you require a bezdin, right? You have to have a court there. That's why I've got all these questions about, you know, all the fun political questions in Israel now, right? Which courts do we recognize? Which courts don't we recognize? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So but the Gemara says, right, that based on the word mishpat, which is used in the pasuk, right, Rashi tells us mishpat achad yelachem vilager. So we understand that mishpat, as we talked about before, mishpat refers to courts. And so the question is going to be, right, if you need a bezdin to have an effective conversion, then how can we have conversions nowadays? Right, we're going to be hard pressed to say that conversions are working midrabanan, because what does that mean, right? Is it midrash if you aren't Jews? Is it midrash if kids aren't Jews? You know, we're going to have major discomfort with saying that. So that's the question that's going to bother all the Rishonim, and that's just a great way of putting pressure on our topic here, right? Because our pressure, starting off with Gemara, is going to be what's the nature of the authority of the courts in a world that's post-Smicha. So the best way to highlight that is going to be areas where these courts need to have as much authority as they can have, right? Any area of, like, there's a tshuva from the Rashba who says this very nicely. He says, look, in a monetary world, so we've always got a safety net of hefker bez and hefker, right? We're very comfortable in halacha giving bat yidin substantial leeway in financial matters. So that's, you know, there's not so much pressure we can get from that angle. We can get the pressure we got from last time we talked, which is there an iser, right? Is there a prohibition against going to courts of hedyotos? But when it comes to their actual, you know, effectiveness, that's not gonna bother us so much. Even we saw the Gemara in Gittin, right, where Yosef is forcing these men to divorce their husbands, right? He's using physical force. And the Gemara had asked, well, you know, how does he have the authority to do that? Doesn't he need to be a samach? But even there, right, there some rishonim, so this is going to depend how comfortable you are, right, with the question of kol de'makadesh adaita de'rabbanan makadesh, right, that ultimately every marriage is, however exactly you understand it, every marriage is done according to the will of the rabban, whoever those are, however exactly that's going to work. But what's going to be clear is, you know, let's say that the Sanhedrin HaGadol in Yerushalayim had said, we grant authority to these hediyot bat din to enforce our will regarding divorce, then you could say that any person who marries, right, so they're getting married with the understanding that it's got to be in accordance with the will of the Rabban on this matter, and therefore it built into the original marriage is that they've got the authority to physically compel divorce if it's operating not according to halacha. You could say that, you know, look, if you're the Rambam who, you know, like, writes this whole sugya of existence, you're never going to see kol de'makadesh in the Rambam, you're never going to see afkinu in the Rambam. So then he's not going to say this. You know, Chachmei Ashkenaz, who are usually more conservative, you might see this, you might not. Some of the Chachmei Sfarad, who are more liberal applying the topic, especially when you have possible, you know, evidence in the Gemara. So the Rashba says, you know, I could have lived with saying, you know, invoking kol de'makadesh or de'rabbanan makadesh regarding questions of marriage and divorce. When it comes to questions of conversion, so there we're out of options, right? Hefker bez and hefker is not going to be relevant to conversion. Kol de'makadesh or de'rabbanan is not going to be relevant to conversion. You know, the third stool, like, there are three legs that, you know, like, if you put them all together, then, you know, bezin could have, like, ultimate power, right? If you combine hefker bez and hefker, you combine kol de'makadesh, and you combine, right, the question of yesh kach be'achachamim lach or davar min haTorah, then if you put all three together, you can come up with some, like Superman power. Basically, Rabbanan can do anything. So nobody's, what?
What's the third one again?
Yesh kach be'achachamim lach or davar min haTorah, right? The question of what do chachamim in certain situations have the ability to uproot something, right? So last I checked, nobody's ever taken a shofar on Shabbos, right? Nobody's taken a little restaurant on Shabbos. Midar Reis does a mitzvah, midar to take a little of an esrog, there's a mitzvah to take a shofar, so how do you do that? So, you know, possibly we invoke this principle.
Where's the makor for the last one, for yesh kach be'achachamim?
It comes up all over the Gemara. I don't know offhand. And there's a, I mean, it's a long, long conversation, the difference between, you know, where they tell you to do something that's usur versus them telling you not to do a mitzvah, right? Them telling you not to do a mitzvah, you've got much more, you know, we can sleep better at night with them telling you to do something passively than do something actively. But the bottom line is that I haven't seen any Rishonim, I saw some Rishonim who mention it and shy away. No one is willing to say, oh yeah, Chum got up and they said that, you know, we're just going to declare non-Jews Jewish, right? It seems like it's a radical statement to say that's in the purview of rabbinic discretion. It's a bridge too far. So if we assume that these people need to be converts, midoraisa, and we assume that these judges do not have judicial standing, midoraisa, then something is going to have to give, all right? And that's going to create the pressure on the Rishonim. So option number one you could take is you could take Lisa's proposal from Wednesday, right? What did you propose this Wednesday? You remember?
I don't remember. What did I propose?
We were talking about Shalichus Aihu.
Oh, so I said that they're like a shaliach of the great king of York.
Exactly. So we'll make a two-step move, right? Step number one is we're gonna invoke this principle that we're talking about of Shalichus Aihu. We're gonna say that Shalichus Aihu gives the head yotos, the judges without the official smicha authority as judges. And then move number two is we're going to say that that principle works on a de'oraisa level through the mechanism of shlichus, right? And just like you could get married through a shliach, you could get divorced through a shliach, you could do all sorts of monetary transactions through a shliach. So too, you can, the Bezdin can set up other courses, their agents, and so it's shlichus shalom kamoso. And even though these people are hedyotos, it's as if they are shluchim. And shlichus is a concept of the race, that's all well and good. And you have some achronim who are going to say that, you know, the Torah Tamima takes that approach. The problem is going to be is that how does it make any sense, right? So if you, the two Tosfos in, there's a Tosfos in Yevamos right here, and there's a Tosfos in Gittin. So the Tosfos in Gittin seems to say what Lisa was saying, right? Because the Tosfos there asks, if you're going to say that the courts are operating through the agency of the shlichus of the original Samach courts, right? So we talked about this Wednesday. So one major problem they're going to have is that how can you have the shlichus of someone who's not alive, right? If smicha ended in, you know, the 300-500s CE. So how can you have people hundreds of years later operating through their shlichus, right? There's no such thing. Who appointed them, right? You need to receive the appointment, right? That's what we've always tell the person, you are my shliach to do X, Y, and Z for me, right? When you go to the rabbi Erev Pesach, right? So you always make him your shliach to sell your chametz, right? If he's not your shliach, he likely can't do that for you. So how's this going to work? So Tosfos give an answer, and the question is, what does it mean? Honestly, it's really unclear. So if you just scope it up, it's the Tosfos and Gittin Daf Peches and Beis. It's the last couple of lines in the Tosfos. The Tosfos there asks, "V'am tomar heichi avdina shlichu saihu? How can we do the shlichus v'ha achshav in mumchin be'eretz Yisrael? Right, nowadays there are no mumchin. Nobody's got smicha in Israel. How do we in 1200 in France have the permission? Yishlomar the shlichus to kamai avdinan, right? That we are performing the shlichus of the earlier generations. So they don't. It's frustrating because they don't answer your question, right? They ask the question and they're using the word shlichus, so you could tell that they're thinking in Lisa's frame of mind, right? And the answer is going to be that shlichusai who is a real agency midoraisa. How does it make sense? They just don't tell you, right? What do they tell you?
That's what you're doing.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. So they must mean more than that, right? Or is they're not just describing, you know, they're not answering the question with a description of the question. They must be saying that somehow, some way, shlichus, you know, the courts are different, and we have the ability to perform their shlichus nowadays. How is that going to be the case? So, you know, there are two proposals, neither one of which really gets you all the way, but just we should be aware. Proposal number one that you could make is you could say that we know what their will is, right? We know that the will, of the old courts with Smicha was that, you know, the judicial system should continue. We know that they wanted conversions to continue. And so there's almost like a virtual shlichas, right? They didn't appoint us just because, you know, technically they couldn't get up from the grave and give us the appointment. But like, you know, it's almost as if they appointed us. Maybe for all we know, they actually did. Maybe they got up and they said, you know, we give our shlichas to you people, you know, do whatever you can do. You're still going to have the questions of like, okay, at the end of the day, like technically how does it work? But that's part one that's going to get you there. Part two that might get you there is if you say that on some level, this is what Rosenzweig wanted to say, it's hard, but it also gets you part of the way there, is we saw earlier the Rambam talk about, right, Chiddush HaSmicha, the question of can we regenerate Smicha, and they wanted to do this in the 1500s, where they got all the Chachamim together. So on some level, Smicha is inherent not just in the, you know, hands-down tradition from Moshe to Yoshua all the way down, but it's also in the repository of Klal Yisrael as a whole, right? We said, the Rambam says that Sanhedrin Gadol Shel Yerushalayim Hein Ikar Torah Shebaal Peh, right? The real Torah Shebaal Peh is not necessarily the corpus in of itself. It was the people who had inherited that corpus. So if you try to propose on some level that maybe, you know, Smicha is not really gone, but it's hard, right? Like, what does that mean? Like, you know, are we just talking, suffice to say, it's not here. So we've got a Tosfos, there's a Torah Pnima, there are some other Achronim who are going to say it. It's going to be our easiest answer to the problem, but we have to admit that you know, nobody's come up with a real convincing solution for how it actually works at the end of the day.
Can you repeat, or is
this like this again? He developed this more extensively, that right, the question is, how can the Rambam say that we regenerate Smicha in if Smicha is all about the transmission from Moshe to Yeshua down the generations, and then it was gone, right? It's over and done with. The Rambam says that if all the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael get together, they can restart the Smicha process. So question one is, how does it make any sense? And then question two, which we had dealt with also, was why does it have to be all the sages in Eretz Yisrael? Right? Why shouldn't it just be, it should be a majority of the people, right? Say Rubo Kukulo. And second of all, it should be the people everywhere, right? How are you going to say that Rav Moshe Feinstein living in New York, right? And Rav Soloveitchik living in Boston are not, you know, going to be in the club of the Chachmei Yisrael, right? But like anybody in some kolol in Bnei Brak will be in the club. How does that, it just doesn't seem to make any sense. So the concept is weird, and the way he has it working is weird. So the proposal he wanted to make was that, you know, ultimately, and this is, you know, it's clear on the Rambam, is, you know, first of all, we talked about people living in Israel being part of the Am, right? You're part of the Tzibor if you're in Israel. You're on a lot of levels not part of the Tzibor if you're not. So we talked about, you know, when the Sanhedrin represents you, right? They only represent the people who are in Israel. The question of par halam davar shel tzibur, right? That carbon that has to be brought for violating avera. So that when the Sanhedrin makes a bad psak, that only takes into account people in Israel, egal rufa, all these other kesha chodesh, all these other areas where you're only a citizen of the, you know, you're a citizen of the Jewish people if you're living in Israel. And then step number two is going to be to say, you know, look, lo bashamayim pi. Means that Torah Shebaal Peh is, you know, ultimately given over to the Jewish people, right? And the collective, you know, if you want to know, you know, today in, you know, 2015, what is Torah Shebaal Peh? So Torah Shebaal Peh is the collective Torah among the, you know, people in people of the Jewish nation. So what that's gonna, and that's, you know, Sanhedrin, it doesn't mean Sanhedrin will go, hey, make a Torah Shebaal Peh, right? This is make a Torah Shebaal Peh. The answer is no, right? It's you know, so in that social situation, those people who have that qualification, they're the ones who are in the Beis Hamikdash. So, you know, there's like a quasi, you know, you want to say these people are the representatives of Moshe, these people are the direct connection to Shefa Elohi. But at the end of the day, these are the, you know, the Torah Shel Peh is inherent in these people, in the collective body of wisdom. So if they all, you know, if Smicha is, you know, really represents the transmission of Torah Shel Peh, right, that's what Moshe is doing to Yoshua. Moshe gives over Torah Shel Peh, and then along with it, right, comes the formal status. So if all of, if the collective repository of Torah Shel Peh, which is embodied in, you know, the Chachmei Yisrael, who are part of the Am, then if they would all get together, they could restart the Smicha process. So if you run with that, if you run with that idea, you couple of, you know, there's one other idea which he had, which helps illustrate it, which is the Salvatics all love this one. There's a great Chakira you ask about Tzibur, right? You've got Karbanos of the Tzibur versus Karbanos of the Yachid. So the Chakira that they all ask is, do we look at this Tzibur as a bunch of individuals, or do we look at this Tzibur as a separate entity? So, you know, for example, like the Ramban talks about this. If we, you know, somehow got 100% participation, you know, every single Jew everywhere donates money for a carbon. So can we say that this is an artificial carbon seaboard? Or are we gonna say that no, you know, it's the carbon of a bunch of individuals. There's no carbon chatas. Carbon chatas can't be brought by partners. Right, you've got the karma chavis of a tzibur, like every Rosh Chodesh, you've got that, but every Yom Kippur, you've got that, but there's no such thing as a chatas of individuals. So theoretically, could you have the whole, you know, whole Jewish nation bring a karma chavis and say, well, you know, since everyone's involved, it's a karma tzibur. So basically we say no, that the tzibur is a different concept entirely. There's a category of tzibur which is more than the sum of its parts. So, you know, another example, the Gemara says, Tzibur lo meis, right? That if theoretically, you know, the entire Tzibur, every Jew in Israel, you know, Chas Shalom, there was a total genocide, and every single Jew living in the bounds of Israel was killed. So if you have a Karban Chatas, which has been, you know, sanctified by that group, normally the halacha with a Karban Chatas is that if its owners pass away, you do not bring the chatas, right? Because who's the chatas giving kapara for? People who's giving kapara for have died, and they got kapara through their death. So, but when it comes to a carbon tzibur, we say tzibur lo meis, and even if every individual citizen is no longer alive, the tzibur as an overall entity still continues, right? So then when people, you know, move back into Israel, they are, you know, they now are the continuation of the tzibur. There's one other great example of it. Oh yeah, right. Actually, you know, for the two women in the crowd, this is a great one. The Karbanos Tzibur are funded by, right? What provides the funding for the Karbanos Tzibur? It's the Machzis HaShekel, right? So like Ricky Vager deals with this. What happens if you do not, if you don't give the half shekel, right? You didn't participate in buying the carbon, so maybe you should not be a beneficiary of the kapara of the carbon, right? Maybe it's only the people who gave the money who are partners in the carbon and get the kapara. So there's a lot of sense to that. Problem is going to be is that any Jew under 20 and any woman, period, is exempt from giving the machzis shekel. So are we going to say that all women and all under 20-year-olds don't get the kapara of the Karbanos Tzibur? I think he's dealing with it because he wants to know if a teenager can daven Musaf for the Yom Kippur. I think. So again, the answer to that question, and he says, like, I know it can't be, but I'm not sure. I think. I haven't looked at this in like a bunch of years. I think he says, I know it can't be, but I'm not sure why. But the answer that's given is yes, because this is a carbon of a tzibur as a whole, and the tzibur is more than the sum of its parts. So that includes, you know, it's not just the individuals who gave the money, it's anybody who's part of the tzibur. And if you're, you know, if you're a 18-year-old guy, if you're a 28-year-old girl, then you're, if you're, you know, a 98-year-old woman, you're totally part of the tzibur. So that there too, again, you see this concept of the constant livingness of the public, of the people. So then, finally, coming back to the social ethos idea, if you think that, you know, the Torah Shabbat Pat is, let's say, latent, you know, it's not, how do you say this with metaphor, it's not being, like, actually expressed, but it's latent in the genes, right, it's there in the body of Am Yisrael, so maybe that would still allow, you know, a real continuation of the shlichus, even though the actual smuchim are no longer alive. That's what he wants to propose. It still needs work, but at least as far as I understand, that's where he was going.
Okay.
So that's approach number one. That seems to be the tosis in Gittin. Right, again, right, the question of how can Geirus work with these always people. Okay. On the other side of the pond is if you're just going to say somehow, some way, that actually this is all working with your Rabbanan. Okay? I don't know how you're going to explain that. Other people I talked to didn't know how you're going to explain that, but Tosfos HaRash says this, the Rash Bran and Tshuva says this, and it seems like Tosfos in Yevamos, right on the page, say it as well. Let's hold off on the Tosfos in Yevamos for now, because really we'll appreciate it more when we see the Gemara. But he seems to think that Shlichusayhu is working in Midrabanan. And so if these people are Midrabanan, then the conversions are happening Midrabanan. What that's going to mean, I don't know. But, you know, let's put it this way. It shows us that the pressure of the question is sufficiently strong that, you know, you've got a whole group of Rishonim that's going to cave and say something that we really don't want to say. Right, we really don't want to say that these Dayanim are working with Yerba, because if that's true, that just creates a whole panoply of questions. So if some Rishon are going to cave, that tells us that we're dealing with a real problem. Okay, there are three more groups of answers, and here it starts to get really interesting, and some of these we should see inside. One is Tosfos and Kiddushin, that's not base and base. I didn't find this on myself. I found this because on the margin of the Tosfos and Yevamos, they say, "Oh, look at Tosfos and Kiddushin." So you always want to do that. And they quote Harav Rabbeinu Nisano. So a little bit of background before we see what he says. What are the requirements midoraisa to the process of converting? What do you need to do?
Judaism,
Tevila,
and
well, go to
Mikvah. Yeah, okay, great. Tevila is one, you gotta go to the Mikvah.
Well,
it's Midarshan.
Yeah. Midarshan from Matan Torah.
What's Bris from there?
Right, you need Bris Mila.
Except
you, Kabbalah, Sol Mitzvos, right? So those three things. Two, how that third one interacts, right? You've got two that are actions, one which is like a mental state, so. You know, that's been a huge discussion for a long time going on, right? What to do, like, you know, especially now with all the Russians, and then going back and trying Moser, you know, posting for a long time and trying to figure out how Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos works in with the other. It's a fascinating topic, not ours. Okay, so that's it. You just need Mila, Tevila, and Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos, right? Not true. There's a third. A Geir has to bring a cart. Rambam says this, Gemara says this, Sol Yevamos, very clear. Three things you need Mila, Tevila, and Hartzaas Karva. This puts even more pressure on Kabbalah's Mitzvahs, because if the Gemara says the three things you need are Mila, Tevila, and Hartzaas, you know, Hartzaas Karvan, then, you know, where's Kabbalah's Mitzvahs fitting in? It seems already that there's some division in the Gemara, but, you know, trying to stay away, it's fascinating, it's not our topic. Okay, great. So no problem. Okay, you want you're a guy, you want to convert, you have to bring a carbon in addition to your bismillah if you're a man, and you're going to the mikveh through everybody. So how we had converts in the last 2,000 years.
Wait, what's the question?
How we had converts in the last 2,000 years.
You're waiting on the carbon.
Without the carbon.
Oh, they haven't had a bismillah.
What does that mean? Let's say we entered a world and they got rid of like knives, right? Some of them are no scalpels. It's impossible to get a bismillah. Or we're on,
trigger. A rock, like a flintstone.
Awesome. Polisi Pora. Okay, so, on behalf of the guys in the room, I'll say, no thanks. So what do we do? So the Gemara addresses this. The Gemara says is that I forget what it's a Gemara in Krisos Daf Tes. And the Gemara darshins on the pasuk pertaining to conversions that the pasuk says the dodo seicha, right? That this will be effective for all throughout all generations. So it comes along the Gemara and it says, well, wait a second, if conversion works with dodo seicha, then it must be that yeah. So you've got an emergency fallback, right? That means that it works for the things that you know. If you can't do it, then you can't do it, right? And it's like. You know, they were just talking about this with the airplane that exploded over the Sinai Desert, right? They've been trying to figure out what's going on, and one proposal was that it was an engine explosion, right? The Russians are desperate to say that it wasn't a terrorist attack, so they're proposing, there was an explosion with the engines. But the response to that is that these planes apparently are wired so that if there's an explosion in the engine is supposed to contain it and just drop off. Right, you drop the engine if it's malfunctioning. So the same thing is true with conversion, right? If you got one part of the plane driving the conversion was just no longer works, you can't do it. Then the Doro Seichem tells you that I drop it, right? We're not making this up. We've got a drasha, and therefore you will suffice with just mila and tvila, and we will not need the carbon. The Rambam says that it's not totally dropped when the Beis Hamikdash is rebuilt. They'll owe a carbon, and then that can give you a lot of fun because, well, if they owe the carbon, then it seems like they still have to finish the conversion process. So the Rav has a great letter to his dad in the Igros of Grid where he tries to figure out how this makes any sense, and they develop a whole two levels of the conversion process. It's really interesting. He's got some great proofs, but again, I'll give you the Marmok if you want, but it's not for us right now. Anyway, once you take this move and say, well, we have a precedent that the process of conversion can break things away if we no longer have them, right? Then, so how's that going to help us here?
It's smicha to follow everyone.
Exactly, right? So if, presumably Hashem knows that, at some point, smicha is going to drop, we're going to lose the smicha. So maybe we'll say the same thing. We'll invoke the Doro Seichem to drop the requirement for smicha, and that's the exact argument in Tosafot Kiddushin quote Harav Rabbeinu Nisano. I don't know who this Rabbeinu Nisano is. I want to find out. And he says Rabbeinu Nisano debager ksev ledoros seichem demashma b'chol inyan afal gav she'inan mumchen. Right, we'll invoke this in ledoros seichem. The al karf achashta leikam mumchen share ein smuchen. Right, we know there are no smuchin. We know the pasuk tells you can always do conversion. So if I put them together, apparently it must be that I don't need smuchin for the conversion process.
Does that only apply to situations where it says l'dor seichem then, according to this view? Like, what about all the other cases where you need smuchin?
Right, exactly. What the advantage of what he's doing is that he has limited our, right, we've contained the question.
Right.
Right? The reason why we're discussing this in the first place is, right, we've been trying to find the one case that puts the most pressure on Hedyotos, right? And presumably, any concessions we make in that case will affect all other cases. So you're exactly right. What the advantage of his answer is we have successfully quarantined the case of conversion, right? You can no longer, if you're dealing with any other case halacha of Hedyotos, you cannot be bothered about their authority from the conversion case, because that's been quarantined by this unique pasuk of Doro Seichem. So the question is, why didn't anybody, it seems like the most brilliant answer ever, right? Why didn't, Tosos were tying themselves up in knots to say Shlichus Ayhu Midorei, so that's a real Shlichus, why didn't they say this? Right, Tosos and the Rashba and Tosos the Rash, who were saying that, yeah, I guess the conversions are Midrabanan. Why on earth didn't they say this? Right, it's an answer that's so good that there must be obedience. Yeah.
To what authority are they being converted? Where does the conversion have the strength from? Nowhere. It was Smicha giving the strength.
Great. Okay, so that's one point. When Rabbeinu Nisanel, right, I wasn't totally honest when I said that we've quarantined the status of, we've quarantined conversion from the rest of halacha when it comes to judicial authority. That can't be entirely true, because on some level, Rabino Nathanael must admit that Midoraisa judges who are hidyotos have some judicial standing, right? Because otherwise, you know, let's put it this way. What do we have now? We have a phenomenon, presumably, according to Rabino Nathanael, where the requirement for smicha is gone, but the requirement for judges still exists, right? If someone would just convert with no bezdin there, we would tell him or her that it was a waste of time and you were as goyish as you were the day you were born. So even on a Torah level, we still have an assumption that hedyotos can wield midoraisa power. Right, that you look at them as a court. Maybe they don't have the power of smicha, but they still have judicial standing. He's going to have to make that concession. And if you want to take a really strong stance, say that there's no such that midoraisa, there's no such thing as a judge who doesn't have smicha. Right, it's Elohim or bust. Either you're an Elohim or you're nothing, and you know we'll say the regular prohibition of lifnei ham velo lifnei hedyotos, then you're not going to like what Rabbeinu Nathanael says. So trip. That's weakness number one. Weakness number two potentially is if you can open up to Parsha, I think it's Maaseh. Maaseh Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chavtes. I think. I'll double check that for you. Perek Lamed Hey Pasuk Chavtes. In Bamidbar, Parsha Maaseh. It's the end of Ir Mikla. Wrapping up the discussion of Ir Mikla, Torah says, "Ra'yu eil l'chem l'chukasom mishpat lidoroseichem b'chol moshvoseichem." And the Ramban right here says that we learn from this, and this was in the Gemara Makos, if you remember it, that the Sanhedrin's authority extends to Chutz La'aretz. Right, so this pasuk chavtes is talking about judicial authority, and we see that that. Mishpat, right? Vayah alacham lechukas mishpat is effective b'chol moshvo seichem. So clearly, the Gemara already learns that b'chol moshvo seichem tells you that the judicial authority extends to moshvo seichem. Well, if that's true, and Rabbeinu Nathanael is right, why didn't we also focus on the word before b'chol moshvo seichem and say ledoro seichem, right? And say that just like ledoro seichem by conversion tells you that there's a guarantee that you always have conversion, and if the requirement for smicha is impossible, it'll drop away. Then we should say the exact same thing for judicial authority as a whole, based on this pasuk. Right? The Torah is guaranteeing you that there's always effective mishpat, and that means that if smicha drops away, then we should no longer require smicha. We should have a free for all. Right? Hedyotos should have the full power of smuchim bizman hazeh. And yet, other than one Akron, the Kiryas Sefer, nobody is willing to say this. So it seems like that's a pretty strong question on Rabbeinu Nathanael. You could live with it, right? Because you could say, no, right, look, we're talking about drashos, and the Gemara already has a drasha on Doros Seichem by conversion. So all I'm doing is just, running with that drasha. No, you can't make up a drasha on this Ladoro Seichem. It was never, just that drasha didn't exist. So you could say that, but that's probably what Rabbeinu Nathanael will tell you, right? We have traditions for what you can and cannot darshan, and you can't ask, Rabbeinu Nathanael will say, you can't ask a question on me by making up your own drasha. We don't make up drashas anymore. And if this drasha was true, then it would have shown up. But on the other hand, you could see the response, which is, well, yeah, the reason why that drasha doesn't exist is because your drasha is wrong. So I think that would be the second attack on Rabbeinu Nathanael, kind of a more frontal approach. In which case, right, Hadra Kosher Ledechte, we still the quarantine solution may not be as clear and easy as it seems. Okay. Then along comes the Ramban. The Ramban to Yavamos, he takes up the question as well, and you can tell that the Ramban is bothered because he gives you three different answers. So it really seems to be a question that's keeping him up at night. It's got three answers. One of them is basically the Rabbeinu Nasanal answer. It's a little bit different in the details, but doesn't matter for our purposes so much right now. The second answer that he gives is actually very close to something that we had just said. He says that apparently it's not so clear. The language of the Ramban is a little bit convoluted, as he sometimes is. But he proposes that when it comes to conversion, you need judges mida oraisa, but you do not need smuchen mida oraisa. Then in fact, here is a case where hedyotos have empowered judicial authority, as opposed to most of halacha. The proof that you'll cite for this is that the pasuk, there's no mentioning of Elohim, right? It says you need mishpat. Mishpat and Elohim, maybe those aren't the same thing. But he's not so comfortable with it. But that's one proposal you could advance, and we had already said that. Proposed that you need judges midoraisa. This Geras is a precedent for not requiring needing judges, not requiring smuchen. In which case, right, once again, we have a phenomenon of hedyotos with judicial authority midoraisa. Finally, the last proposal he gives, and he doesn't explain what it is, and it contradicts things that he says elsewhere in his writings. See the last line. You could tell that he's not happy, but you could tell the pressure he feels on himself. Is after this whole, you know, how many lines do I have here of Ramban? 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, 10 lines of Ramban. He's wrestling the question. He gives one answer. He gives another answer. He's not sure. He ends off by saying, "The efshar de min hatora afilu hedyotos dunin b'shlichusayhu de mochen." Right? It's possible, maybe, min hatora, even hedyotos judge as shlichusayhu. So he finally, it's like he's been pushing against it. Finally he caves, finally he invokes shlichusayhu. He says that the concept that we're dealing with of shlichusayhu is what gives the authority to the judges. And he says, I guess maybe shlichusayhu works mida oraisa, but he doesn't tell you how that works. So again, you see this very clearly, the pressure that's on him, and even when he caves, Rabbi Rosenzweig and Dr. Soloveitchik will say this all the time, that apparently the Rav likes to say this too, that if you go through enough Rambans, you'll see that he's starting his new school, right, the Beis Medrash of the Ramban, that's the dominant force in learning in Spain, you know, until 1391, when Spanish Jewry is devastated, where he's importing Baal HaTosfos approach. He's also, you know, importing his own like advance of that, where he's not just giving the distinctions, he's also giving his reasons. So he really he's breaking new ground. He's a new thinker. But you know, as opposed to, for example, Rabbeinu Tam, who's the new thinker in the world of Tosfos, who, you know, has no problem trailblazing and, you know, really breaking open new paths. And then a lot of times the job of later Baal HaTosfos will be to kind of pull back the reins a little bit on some of his chidushim. The Ramban is kind of the exact opposite, where he'll it's like you got a hot stove, and he's like putting his hand on a delicate, where he's starting to get there. He sees the paths that he's opening up, and he'll start to go down them. And then he'll pull back. And then often, if you look at his, you know, the students in the subsequent generations, you look at the Rashba, the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Ran, you'll see someone will take it and then run with it. Right, what the Ramban had started and pulled back from, other people will say, hey, you know, what the Rebbe was saying in Shir makes a lot of sense. Let's really go with it and see what we can do. So here's a phenomenon where the Ramban, you know, starts to open up the door. Hey, maybe conversion is working through shlichusayhu. Maybe somehow shlichusayhu is working mida oraisa. But you know, it's only efshar. It's only at the end. And it doesn't appear elsewhere in his writings. It doesn't appear in a whole discussion in Sanhedrin that he has. It doesn't appear in the Ramban, Ala Torah, and Shoftim, on Ramban, Ala Torah, and Mishpatim. You've only got this one, like, crack. This one, he opens the window for you a little bit right here. The question is that if the Ramban thinks that Shlichus Sa'i was working Mida Oraisa, what mechanism, how is that happening? So it could be they're going to say, right, so these girls are going to sleep all night. Should they say, yeah, this is Shlichus, right? The Ramban is opening the door to Shlichus Sa'i, who being a regular Shlichus. Problem with that is that then he should have said it. If you've got the mechanism and you know what it is, then just say it. And he doesn't, right? He just says maybe it's working through Shlichus Sa'ihu Mida Oraisa. So it seems like he thinks that Shlichus Sa'ihu potentially has another to Oraisa. There's another way Mida Oraisa we could slay Shlichus Sa'ihu, and that is going to be like job number one, is to figure out what that is. The answer, a little bit of a spoiler, we'll see the answer when we see the Ran. The Ran on Sanhedrin, because you should know this, it's probably not actually the Ran. Right? The Ran is a Benu Nisim of Gerona. He lives in the mid-1300s. The Ran to Sanhedrin, it seems like it's a student of Rabbeinu David. Rabbeinu David, do you remember Pesachim ever? Mm-hmm. So you've got the nice, fat, blue book, Rabbeinu David and Pesachim, right? Rabbeinu David and Pesachim, he's like the best Rishon ever. It's just like Mordechai Friedman in Gush likes to joke that he thinks that a Brisker came along in 1900, wrote a fake Rishon and Pesachim and called it Rabbeinu David and Pesachim because he wanted to show that the Brisker Darach was alive and well even among the Rishon. It's phenomenal. Like literally, sometimes you think you're reading Rafai. Sometimes even he's giving the same answers and dealing with the same questions as Rafai.
Does he only write on Sa'i?
We know very little about him. In fact, we don't even know his name. His name sometimes it's called Rabbeinu David Banfil, sometimes it's called Rabbeinu David Banfid, and sometimes it's called Rabbeinu David Banfir. Because the Reish and the Dalet, easily could conflate. And the Lamed too, exactly. So we really don't have much biographical information on him. We have him to Pesachim, I'm pretty sure we have him to Beitza, although on Beitza he wasn't as good. And we have a lot of his Torah through the Ran here to Sanhedrin, which is great, because that means that the Ran to Sanhedrin is like your Rav Chaim Rishon. He, all the time, like, you want to have Rav Chaim Rishon with you. He's thinking in the same categories you're thinking in. He's asking your questions. He's giving the kind of answers that you'd be giving. They were just a school that was really far ahead of their time. We're going to call him the Ran, but really it's a student of Rabbeinu David. And in this case, once again, he's going to come through. He quotes, he's quoting Torah of Rabbeinu David. And he's going to give an analysis of the sugya, which is like, just, he gives the Brisker analysis of the sugya. So we're really going to want to see that well. We're not going to deal with it today. But when we get there, we will see how he runs with the Ramban. How he's going to propose that Shlichus Sa'ihu works Mida Oraisa, if you do not think that Shlichus Sa'ihu is good old-fashioned Shlichus. Okay, two more sources on the topic at Bar, topic of Geirs. One, this is the first Nesivos on the page. This is the first Nesivos ever, Nesivos HaMishpat. He's got, I don't remember his last name offhand, he's got one of the more awesome last names in Rabbinic history. Let me actually get that. It's a great name. He's an incredibly prolific writer. Oh yeah, here we go. Yaakov Lorberbaum, 1760 to 1832. He writes the Nesivos on Choshen Mishpat. He writes the Chavas Das on Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya. If you ever learn Pesachim, he has a really important work on Pesachim, he has really important parish on Or Chaim called Makor Chaim. He's got like a one page work on Ervin, which Rav Schechter loves to quote all the time. he really wrote on, oh, and he's got Toras Gittin, which is a really important work on Gittin. So he is one of our most prolific writers, and good for him is that it's not often, usually you have the Rabbanim are known by their works, right? So it's not often you have someone who's known equally, oh, that's the Nesivos, and that's the Chavos Das. It's the same guy. So he has a masterful work on Choshen Mishpat, we use all the time. And in the very, very first piece in the book, he takes up our issue. So this one, we've got to read inside because it's the first one. It's good stuff. So, Jennifer, can you take it for us? Let me see this. I'll follow.
This is my third play. We need that the financial shikutai. Mash ma me ashas. She will rap into Rabban. Kamar me show me la tell. So, if you didn't get that, see, Mira, the bad man, so we draw right up. Rakshan himself is a fun. Below us, he was kind of a shoot and rap him from the Ikani la tell. Say that the hammock of wind during this man has any time the abdina shikutai. The Kiddusha, Kiddushin, both have say, Akarka, Kiddushin. The Inkloch, the Akhanim, lack hordes of our Torah, the Kumbase.
We had mentioned this principle. Right? You don't tell me that that they're working through, Kaf, Yachim, Lakar, the Rabbana Torah, because they do not have the authority to do that proactively, right? They can't, they can tell you don't take shofar on Shabbos. They can't tell you you are a Jew if you're not a Jew. Okay?
Same as in Agitin, after the get mail sale, Pia had Jojo, Hasumi Joraita. The Joker will marry the King Rabban and the Kidushin. The Havala, the Purushe, the Hanaka, Mina, Azabadina.
Right, so maybe we would say that they work through Afka Inhu, right, and Kaldero Makade. Should we mention that as an option? So the Nesivos is not impressed with that either, because someone should have said it, right? They're important Afka Mina, apparently, if you're going to say Afka Inhu. And you can't say what's not there, right? The absence of textual evidence is too compelling. So it must be that Shlichusaihu is working through some other principle. And he thinks that it must be it's working Mida Oraisa, because otherwise, right, Ha Mekablin Geir Mizman Hazah, Mitam Davdina and Shlichusaihu, right? If you assume that you can that judges can accept converts because of Shlichusaihu, then it must be that it's Mida Oraisa. And how does he, what mechanism does he propose that they use? So he said in that second line, right? Lefi anastati amasim daraisa, rakshin nimsar lechachamim, the lo asu asan leshluchim, etc., etc., etc. Right? This is a phenomenon where the Torah, for example, cholamoe, right? What are the malachos on cholamoe? So there are Torah prohibitions against malacha. Gemara says that the Torah gave the authority to the Rabbanan on this question to, fill in the definitions, right? What exactly is malacha on Chol Hamoed Midoraisa? That was given to the Chachamim to fill in. The Ramban on Shvusin, right? All these Isurei Shvus of Shabbos. So the Ramban there proposes also that even though normally we think of a bunch of these as Isurei de Rabbanan, he says, in fact, they're Isurei de Oraisa. The whole point of Shabbos is to have Shabbason, right? Is to have a day of rest. And if you're, if you're dealing with business all day, then that's sabotaged your Shabbos. So, the prohibition against business, all these other Shavusin are in fact Mida Oraisa. There are cases where the Torah gave the authority to the Rabbanan to fill in the details. So the Nesivos supposes that the same thing is operating here. That what Shlichusaihu is that the smuchim have the authority to grant judicial authority to non-smuchim, right? They can say, who's in charge of saying who's a judge, who's not a judge? We are, right? Chachamim are able to make that call, and if we say that you can operate with shlichusaihu, you are operating as, as judges under our approval, that gives you official judicial standing. The question then is going to be, yeah.
Well, I was going to make that stretch. I mean, it's a nice stretch, but based on what does he say that? Why can't we just say this about everything?
What do you mean?
He sent the idea that the Rabbanim can accept this considered nice by Malachos. Therefore, they could also, by Garen, they could decide who's a Garen on their ISO level. So why can't we just extend this to everywhere? Why gave him the right to extend to Garen?
I'm just trying to think how to answer your question. We know there's a phenomenon in halacha that there are times where the Torah says, look, I'm just gonna Torah is gonna sketch out the bare bones, and it's leaving it to the chachamim to fill in the details, right? We know that that's a phenomenon, right? Step A, sometimes that's the case. Step B, obviously you can't say that, you can't just say that left and right, or you can't say that, well, no, it's only in cases where the Torah actually gave that authority to the chachamim, right, where it said, you know, we're gonna leave it as a blank canvas and leave it for you to fill in. You need some evidence to tell you that seems to be what's going on. So if I know that there is a concept of, I know that normally, right, hedyotos cannot serve as judges. And I know that all the time these hedyotos seem to be serving as judges. And I know that they seem to be serving as judges with oraisa, right, because otherwise how could they do conversions? And I know that I have this mysterious concept of shlichu sayinu, right? There's some halacha. There's a halacha, so it's deductive, using deductive reasoning. If I have a halacha called shlichu sayinu, which is somehow empowering, somehow empowering the hedyotos to work as smuchim on the oraisa level, I need to figure out what mechanism is doing that, right? So I already have the phenomenon. And now it's just a question of, which, you know, that's the evidence that's before the Zivos, right? Given the Gemaras, that's the story. Now he needs to come in and just fill in what is the mechanism, right? That is our pressing question. What is the mechanism? Is the mechanism Shlichus? That's going to have its whole host of problems. If it's not Shlichus, what else could the mechanism be? So he's going to propose, and you're right, the weakness of this approach is that, you know, it seems like a big thing to say without someone saying it. But, you know, what allows him to say it is the existence of the question, right? There's substantial evidence that potentially pointing in this direction.
So he's more forced into it. That's the best answer for you.
Yeah, exactly, right? It's, you know, like the Sherlock Holmes principle, right? That you know, in the absence of all other possible, right? Once you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Right. So if I know that I have this phenomenon, I know that Shlichus Sayinu is working mida oraisa, I have no idea how this mechanism is working, and I eliminate all other viable possibilities, right? It can't be Shlichus because, you know, people died 1500 years ago. I can't come up with any other proposal. So then I'm gonna take out this arrow in my quiver, and I know that sometimes I have phenomenon of the Torah left come to fill in the details on certain areas. And it's not so crazy, because, by the way, we're dealing with the question of judicial authority. It's not so crazy to say that the judges have the authority to empower judges, right? To say that, you know, that the Torah gave the judges the authority to give judges authority is not so unreasonable, right? You throw that in there as well. So the deductive reasoning, the difficulty of any other possibilities, the existence of evidence, and the fact that it kind of works nicely. It's not so crazy to say that the Sanhedrin has, you know, d'oraisa power to make people into Sanhedrins, is how you could live with, you know, is how what you'd ground in a Sivas' approach.
Oh gosh, sorry.
Ground in a Sivas' approach. But 100%, the reason why no Rishon is getting on the record and saying this, or the reason why nobody says it until 1800, is because of the exact concern that you're raising. There's no question that it's a big fetish, and you know, he's starting off his book with a bang. But that's just we should have that there. So, you know, taking a step back then, to approach it, if you think that Shlichus Sayinu works with Oraisa, one approach we've got is Shlichus, and that's Tosfos and Gittin. One approach you've got is that it's a case of that, you know, nimsar l'chacham. The chacham have the ability, or the Torah gave the chacham the ability to grant people judicial authority, and that is the proposal of the Nesivos. Okay, one last source that we look at is just because this gives another answer kind of from left field, but it just it ties in really nicely to stuff we talked about earlier in the Limud. And that is the Tosas Yeshanim to Yavamos. I just heard this from Dr. Kanarfogel. You know, you have Tosas Yeshanim on a bunch of different Masechtos. You have Tosas Yeshanim on Yavamos, you have Tosas Yeshanim on Yuma. The question is, why are they called Tosas Yeshanim? Right? It sounds like, oh, it's great. Like, these are the old Tosfos. It happens to be they have phenomenal stuff. Like, they're really, it's a whole different set of Tosfos. There's some really creative stuff in there usually. If you've seen the Sefer of the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Rav book, the gray one, Masada Rav Kook. So if you go through it, like he's having the time of his life. He's going through like all these Tosas and Shanims. They're saying all these, you know, fascinating things. He's having a great time with them. The question is what is it and why are they called Tosas and Shanim? So the answer is actually very simple. It's not that they're an older group of it's not that they're an older set of Tosos. In fact, often they're a more recent set of Tosfos. It's the people who are printing them and selling them. It's a marketing ploy. That these are geschmack Tosos. These are great Tosos. These are Tosos Yeshanim. You know, you can't learn Yavamos. You can't learn Yuma without these Tosos Yeshanim. Right, come on, you're gonna have the Tosos. You're not gonna have Tosos Yeshanim. So it gets the name from as branding, but the truth is it doesn't need the branding because consistently they really say really fascinating things. They should. I mean, you know, they're in really small print, and often it's in the newer Gemaras they do a better job. And the older Gemaras, like you're up to Daf Samach Gimel, and the Tosas Yeshanim are still catching up. They're like on Daf Nun Tes. So and of course, you know, like no Bol Dibur HaMasechta or anything. So you know, they've always been brutal to learn. Now to the Yavamos, they've come out with this like critical edition. It's like all fancy. But they always have good things and always like off the beaten track. So the Tosas Yeshanim to Yavamos, sure enough, takes up our question. And let's see what his answer is. Lisa, can you read it for us? This is good. Okay, so point number one is how are hadyotos affecting conversion? Exactly. Good to know. What's the question?
So now in Eretz Yisrael there aren't mumchim,
right?
And we don't have any clear reason to say that shlichutai works.
Yeah.
Mikol makom, anachin sumchin ahad ta'amar l'tamad, mikolach kra, v'nikablin geiri v'chul, imkein mashma d'lo kafid kara mumchim. So we base our, we rely on the pasuk, on the
pasuk is going to come up right after this on Yavamos Mem Zayin Amud Aleph.
That says that we accept Geirim and Chutz Laaretz.
Mm-hmm.
And from this we learn that it's not, that the pasuk wasn't intending for them to be Mumchim.
So how does that make sense? What's the connection?
There's no smicha in Chutz
Laaretz. Exactly. Right? We talked about this before, right? The Sefer Achinuch believing that there's no mitzvah of setting up judges outside of Chutz Laaretz, right? Mm-hmm. That there's only smicha in Israel, there's only Elohim in Israel. And so Tosas Yeshanim says, right, at first blush, I think that that conversions are happening through Shlichus Ayu. Then I got to ask a question to myself, which is, well, wait a second. If it's Shlichus Ayu, then, you know, how could, and that's, again, right, he's thinking that Shlichus Ayu means Shlichus. It can't be shlichus mida oraisa because there's nobody's home. Right? Nobody's around to make me a shliach. So you know you want to say that there's like a darabanan shlichus. Okay, fine, but that's not going to help us for conversion. So then he says, therefore I have to back off, right? And I've got to come up with a local reason to conversion, namely since you see the Torah tell you that conversions can happen in Chutz La'aretz, it must also be, right, that you can have conversions without smuchim, because the two, as we talked about earlier, are joined at the hip, right? If you don't need Eretz, if you can do it in Chutz La'aretz, must be you can do it with head yotos. And so this is just great because you see, you know, he operates with our original approach, right? Shlichus Ayu is shlichus. He has our question, and our question backs him off and forces him to come up with a new local chiddush to Geirus. One that really doesn't have like the shock and awe factor of Rabbi Nasanel, right? Of saying that we just drop away the need for smuchin, but it's a very solid approach, right? If you really buy into the connection between Chutz La'aretz and Elohim, then once I can have conversion with Chutz La'aretz, then I guess I can also have it with Hedyotos. Okay, so that's a wrap. So now